He said, let there be light. And there was light. And then he said, ye are Pentecostal people. You speak in tongues according to Acts 2:4. You can't go to heaven if you don't. You're Presbyterians, you're Methodists, you're Baptists, you're Lutherans, you're Catholics. No, he made this statement, ye are the light of the world. What a strong and powerful assertion Jesus Christ makes about you. Could I ask your husband? Now, wait a minute. Or your wife? Or the people you work with? Ah, what a marvelous call of God. Ye are the light of the world. And the Bible has much to say about that light. Among whom ye shine as lights in the world. You know, if we turned out all the lights in this room, it would be dark. And so everybody would get a chance to say something about the darkness. I had an argument with Uncle Edwin about darkness some time ago, and we didn't come to any conclusion. He said, darkness is something, and I said, darkness ain't nothing. I said, darkness is simply the absence of light, and you can give it whatever name you like. Call it Catholic or Protestant. Call it Pentecostal or whatever you please. But it's darkness. But oh, light a candle, just one candle. And where is the darkness? It flees in proportion to the size of that light. And that's what Jesus Christ means when he says, ye are the light of the world. The Bible says about him that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And there is no science in the world that gives us light like the biography we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old and New Testament. What a light. And the light doesn't shine out of Jesus Christ through his words alone, but his life was different from all the other people in the world. What a holy life. What a holy life. What a humble life. I am meek and lowly in heart, he says. Learn of me. And everybody that got acquainted with Jesus Christ saw that he was meek. When he was reviled, he reviled not again. There was no guile found in his mouth. What a light. My, what a light has been to this present day. Before the whole world. Went to the library some time ago and picked up a book by Nietzsche. Nietzsche, the man that has cursed millions of people with his false philosophy. And he says, I've got nothing against Jesus. He says, I don't like Paul, he says, but I have nothing against Jesus. There's no spot in him. Ingersoll is said to have said the same thing. Spoke about Jesus as being immaculate. His greatest enemies had to admit that there was no spot in him. What a life. What a life. And before us stands this wonderful Savior as a perfect man. My son, in whom I am well pleased. And God came down from heaven and lived in that son. And it was his life that was the light of men. When I came into Pentecost, I wrote to my cousin in Switzerland, who was the officer in the Salvation Army. I hadn't seen him for 25 years. And he wrote back and he says, I'm awfully sorry you got into that fanatical streak, Pentecost. And then he mentioned this text. He said, you know, the Bible says in him was life. That's what makes the difference, not what church you belong to, not what your profession is, or even what your confession is, but it's the life. In him was life. And that's the thing the whole world was lacking, life out of God. That's why life today is so defiled. Wherever you go, people talk about living. I told you when I crossed the ocean one time, on an airplane, there was a group of women, a woman's society, and they were half drunk, and they were singing, "This is the life." I thought, good night. If that is the life, but that's the way the world thinks of life, a defiled, cursed life. And oh, how many Christians fail, how often we have failed to live the life. That's what counts. There's nothing that convicts you so quickly as to meet someone that's holier than you are. Somebody that lives the life. They may not do a lot of talking about religion. They're not trying to persuade you to be what they are, but they're living the life. And the minute you meet them, or if you have a little time to get acquainted with them, you find they've got something that you haven't got. Something out of heaven. Jesus Christ says, rivers of living water shall flow from within him, because in him was life, and he came that they might have life. Beloved, that's the thing we ought to look at. His life was the light of men. And you can take all the wise men and all the leaders and all that have tried to influence the world with their doctrine. How many millions are there today? And they all have a name, but they don't have the life. But Jesus has the life. And when you see Jesus, even on the cross, I said years ago, I'm jealous of you, Jesus. I envy you, hanging on the cross, full of shame, full of the spit of your wicked enemy, bleeding with a crown of thorns. I envy you because there's no spot in you. Spirit, soul, and body immaculate. In his mouth was found no guile, no, not a wrong word. He pleased the Father so greatly that when he had died for my sins and paid the price, the Father raised him from the dead for my justification, so that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And when the Lord Jesus says to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world," he puts us where we belong. In Philippians 2, he mentions the same thing. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. What is that salvation? Why, beloved, we shall be like him. He has come to work within us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, to make us perfect in every good work, to do his will. In other words, to set ablaze the light of eternity, the light of heaven. Oh, how different is a life that is devoted to God. Dr. Gray said something about our home that might sound very flattering, but he told the truth. He said, "You're very, very fortunate to live in a home that's bathed in the life of God all the time." Well, it should be like that. It should be. And he, coming from the West, coming into that home, he couldn't escape it. You can't escape that marvelous flow of the life of God, because it drives away demon powers. It drives away sin. It drives away evil speaking and evil thinking. It drives away all these hosts of hell. And it makes God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost to come and dwell within you. Beloved, that's gospel. That's the offer that Jesus Christ makes. And so he says, "Now that I'm absent from you, work out your own salvation." This is salvation. Glory to God, which Jesus Christ brought to this earth. They shall have life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And when that life fills you, it will be the light of men. You won't have to do a lot of talking. I told you how I was asked to visit a man, the husband of one of our sisters. She was a good sister, good old woman. And she said, "My husband's bad. My husband's bad," she says. "He won't get saved." So I came to visit the poor man. Like a lamb, he sat there. She kept yelling at him for a half an hour, telling what a bad man he was. I said, "Woman, he's more saved than you are. If I were your husband, I wouldn't get saved either." She didn't let the light shine. What in the world did he see in that woman every day? Poisonous of asps under her lips. And yet there are thousands like that calling themselves Christians. Jesus Christ doesn't call you a Christian. He says, "You're a light. You're the light of the world." That's why he placed us here upon this earth. And it says, and that's the salvation he came to bring. Thank God, to make us shine as lights in a dark world, holding forth the word of life. How many illustrations he uses? He says, "Ye are the epistle of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." And I feel that if God can help us to see that that's our call, to live the life, we may not do as much talking as we do. And we may not try to encompass sea and land to bring some proselyte in. They'll come by themselves. You put a light somewhere where it's dark and they'll come. They'll come to the light. The Gentiles shall come to thy light, the Bible says. And here is that great light that God kindled. In him was life. Life. Oh, to live the life. We ought to search our own hearts by means of this wonderful reflector, this wonderful word. Do all things, we heard a while ago, rejoice evermore. That's wonderful. Rejoice evermore. Do all things. You scrub the floor sometimes. You do the wash. I found people even in a little kid called our home 40 years ago, the fake home. He said, "I've been out to the fake home." Well, it can be that. Found people complain. Got to work too hard. When I got into the ministry, I had already a pretty good career in my business. Earned a lot of money, and now I got into the ministry, I had to do the family wash. I learned how to do the family wash. I was told how. Had to rub the sleeves and rub the collars. And we didn't have a wash machine. And then I had to, I don't remember now, did I boil the water or didn't I? But anyway, I had to soak the stuff until it was soft. They gave me a stick, and I had to feel around to see whether it was soft. How do you do the wash? Anyway, I had to do the whole family, and I enjoyed it. I had to wash the dishes, and I enjoyed it. I enjoyed anything for Jesus Christ. Anything. Oh, yes, whether you live in a fake home or in a faith home, praise God. Ye are the light of the world to all things. Without murmuring and disputing, that ye may be blameless. Jesus was blameless because no guile was found in his mouth. Isn't that wonderful that God gives us these instructions? They're easy to follow. Today, the photograph companies, they make instigmatic photo apparatuses. They've got to make them so automatic that a cat can work them. Sure. Why? Because they found out that I won't say it. They don't read the directions. They don't learn how to work these things. They don't. If people use their brains, I saw a girl weighing herself. She sacrificed a penny to weigh herself. And this is the way she weighed herself. She put the penny in the, and then she held up her coat. and stigmatic. Well, God tells us how to live this kind of a life, and it's so simple. Listen to all things without murmurings and disputings. That's a wonderful direction. That he may be blameless and harmless. Sons of God. Why, when God said, my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, what had he done? He had been subject to his parents. He had learned to obey his father and mother. And that's how he pleased the father. He had finished his first basic education. And now he graduated into the sonship. That he may be blameless and harmless, sons of God without rebuke. Oh, my Father, I know you're looking down from heaven upon my life. And it isn't what I say with my mouth that counts, but it's what I let you do within my life. That you may be blameless and harmless, sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Is it crooked and perverse? Well, don't think of that. Are you crooked and perverse? Beloved, the life was the light, and ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Oh, there was a time when we lived differently, but thank God he has moved in. He has poured in his life. He lives within us. It is Christ that lives. Praise God. And people shall see that. They see Christ. Oh, there's a real Christian. There's one that doesn't talk, but he lives the life. And God will give us that life. But I thought that was a very marvelous word that our sister spoke. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. And when this word of God shines, it'll light us up, it'll drive away the darkness. And that's why it says, holding forth the word of life. Dear Father, dear Lord, make us that kind of a light in this world that men may see. And what would happen if we would spend 1 month or 2 months laboring over this thing? The Bible says we should exhort one another daily while it is called today. Exhort one another daily. We should fear lest the promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. I was raised in a faith home in the Middle West where that was the ministry, exhorting people, and they didn't like it. Many didn't like it. I remember how one young minister got an exhortation. He wanted to preach so badly he itched all over. He was a tall fellow, 6 foot. And he had not the 17th year itch, but every day he itched. He wanted to preach. Whatever chance he got, he preached, and he had a voice like a lion. But he didn't get any place. And one day the Lord exhorted him. In my hearing, he said, you skip the notch. I'll never make a preacher out of you until you go back and pick up what you lost. What was it? Well, he was raised in a faith home, and he didn't like to do the dishes. He didn't like it. He escaped it wherever he could. Whenever he should have done the dishes, he had a leading to go somewhere else. It's wonderful how people get leadings then. Where is he? Oh, don't look, don't ask. God said, I'll never make a preacher out of you until you pick up that notch. You lost it. Oh, my son in whom I am well pleased. God says that of every one of us. Sons of God, without rebuke, if we don't fulfill, we'll be the biggest hypocrites. We can be the biggest evangelists. But if the life doesn't shine, will be the worst hypocrites. Ye are the light of the world. This world is full of darkness. Let your light so shine before men that they may see the Father and may see Christ in you and may hear Christ out of your mouth. In their mouths was found no guile, and they were not defiled with women. That we don't know what that means, except that their bodies were clean. Surrender to God as a living sacrifice. Oh, what a call God has over your life. What a call He has over our lives. Thank God to put us into Brooklyn, into a dark place like this, not to be talkers, but to be walkers, followers. And he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. Oh, to live in the light as he is in the light is my privilege. And it means that I walk as he walked. Here is the light, beloved. You will never see another light. And this light will light you up. It'll light up your life. Holding forth the word of life. And now, dear Father, can you do something for us tonight? Can you, Lord Jesus Christ, can you help us? We may have to do something pretty desperate about it. We may have to revise our way of living. But oh, how graciously Jesus Christ offers himself, gold tried in the fire, that you may be rich. Jesus Christ dwelling within, shining from within. I've spoken to you in this meeting, get to my Bible and know that my Bible has been written for you, and that all the words are given by inspiration of God, and they will find their fulfillment in those who make them their own portion. Oh, come to the New Testament. Come bow low before your great King. Let him take his great power and reign supreme over your will and over your affections. And if you don't allow him to reign, there is another that is reigning already, that has already gained power. He is the king of darkness. He is the prince of the power of the air that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And it's up to you to make your choice. And here, I've been walking in your midst. I've been speaking my word. I've been pouring out my spirit. I've been opening the door wide. And no man can shut it. And you can come if you will and partake of the water of life freely. Jesus, Vaje, come speak to him in new tongues. Speak to him in old tongues. Talk to Jesus. Talk to Jesus. See him going through these aisles with the cruise of heaven, pouring oil into the vessels.
the Christ who died on Calvary, for he was my sins away. He put with it my heart a melody, and I know the corpse of Jesus.